Special guest now joining us on the show, on our Newsmaker Hotline, Mike DeBoard, Tennessee's offensive coordinator and coach. First thing I want to do is welcome you to the program. And hey, it was nice of you to bring some Michigan weather with you, Coach, the last 10 days. Now take it. Now tell those folks they can have it, because we've had enough here.
Did you start to say take it back with you, or what?
Yeah, I don't know if that's where I was going, Coach. I don't think that's what I meant, Coach.
I pay attention to what people say, and I thought you were getting ready to take it back with you already.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? I have
that's
been
good.
Accused of this weather by everybody,
yeah.
Coaches, players, and I have nothing to do. I can't control the weather.
You know, it's here, the one thing you learn, though, I'm from Philadelphia originally. When it snows here, Coach, I don't go on the road. I stay off the road. Too many heroes out there in East Tennessee on the roadway, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I saw a little bit of that in action, but
yeah.
I get it, too. It's all these hills and everything. It's, it's hard to drive on it, and I understand that.
Let me say this to you. You did a fantastic job at your inaugural press conference, Coach, if I can say that to you. Absolutely fantastic job by you on that podium. You looked extremely comfortable up there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and especially coming from you and anybody in the media that, you know, is around that a lot. But I am comfortable. I'm comfortable with Butch. I'm comfortable with the coaches. I'm becoming more and more comfortable with the players, and I'm comfortable in this situation that I have now. And so, yeah, I think they're, Butch talks about fit. I think, you know, whether you say I have fit in or whether I'm comfortable, whatever, but it all goes together. But I appreciate you saying that.
Your involvement with Tennessee, Coach, did you pick the phone up and call Butch, or did he pick the phone up and call you? How'd that come about?
Well, that's a great question. Ever since Butch and I had worked together at Central Michigan, and then we both went our separate ways in coaching and other things. But every time we talked, not every time, I shouldn't say every time, but a lot, we always talked about coaching together again. And, I think He called me to tell me that, first he called me to tell me that Mike Bajakin was going to interview. And, I didn't say much at that time. I was maybe hoping he would say something, but we really didn't talk too much about what he would do if. And then, he called me back and said it looked like probably Mike was going to probably take the job. And, I said, well, what are your thoughts? What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do for the position? And then he asked me if I had interest, and I said, yes, very much so. And he says, well, good. So that's all it kind of got said at that time. And then he called me back again, and I can't remember what day it was. I think maybe on a Thursday. Yeah, it was on a Thursday, I believe. And he called me back, and he said he had met with Mike. Mike was leaving, and he said, are you interested in this job? And I go, without a doubt. And he goes, okay, I'm going to have a plane up there tomorrow. You get on it, and we'll bring you down here, and we'll let you experience what we have here. He said, I want to see if you're a fit here. You know, he says, I got my beliefs and everything, but yet I want these coaches to feel that. I want these players to feel that. I want everybody around the football department, athletic department, I want them to feel that. So it wasn't just an interview with Butch, it was an extensive interview. And then when I left, he just said, he goes, Mike, I'm going to continue looking at people, and I have to do what's best for Tennessee, and I'm going to get the right guy. And you know what? I appreciated that whole deal, because I didn't want this position because Butch and I knew each other. I wanted this position to, if he felt like I was the best person to help him continue to move this program in the right direction and get to where he wants to get to championship-wise, then I wanted to be a part of that. If he felt like somebody was better, then, hey, he needed to do that for Tennessee football. He needed to do it for himself. And so I've been in this thing a long time, and I understand fit and trust and all that stuff, and he had to make sure he got that. So I really appreciated the way he went about it.
Yeah, and you know from your days as a head coach, these jobs in this football industry are finite. I don't care, just like jobs in my field are finite. In a perfect world, coach, we hire everybody. You know, I please everybody. One of the things you have to learn to do, though, when you hold the job that you held, and even to some extent the job you hold now, is you have to learn to say no to people. Let me ask you this. On the front end, when you hired Butch Jones early in his career, did you know when he was a kid that he could ascend to this level? Or is there just no way of knowing where a guy's going to end up, how far they can go?
Interesting question, and Bush just asked me that because I know Dan Quinn real well. He asked me the same question about Dan Quinn. And I sometimes you don't know. Like, I'm not trying to get off your question here. I'll definitely answer your question, but a lot of people ask me even about Tom Brady. Did you know he was going to go have the great success he had? I mean, I knew he'd be successful, but not to the level he has achieved at. No. Butch Jones now? Yes, I really believed he would be a head football coach. I really believe that. Number one, very, very passionate about football. Very passionate about how you play the game. And very knowledgeable, smart. And there were a lot of times, you know, as a head coach, you've got to have somebody on your staff. And I believe you can have somebody on your staff, but you got to have a coach on your staff that you can pull in and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And for me, it was Butch. I would pull him in and I'd say, you know, what do you think? I'd ask him, am I too hard on the players? Am I pushing them too hard or whatever? And I trusted him, in what he said. And so I did believe he would be a head coach, and I always thought he'd be very successful.
You know, it's so funny you'd say that whole confidant thing, because one of my hopes is that you're going to be that for him, a guy that will look at him. You've got that history with him, and you'll look at him and say, hey, coach, you're out of bounds here. Or, hey, coach, you ever think about doing this here or doing that here? One of my hopes is you'll be that guy on this staff, and it sounds like you already sort of have that role in his life from what I hear, from what I heard earlier from you.
Yeah, after we left Central, we always talked all the time, and then when he became a head coach, we talked all the time. He'd ask me this, ask me that, and I'm sure he did it with other coaches that he worked for. But it always meant a lot to me whenever I got a phone call from him. It meant that, you know, he valued what I was going to have to say, no matter what the question might be. But, whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to be glad to do. I'll be glad to, again, if he asks me a question, I'll tell him, you know, the way I see things. And that doesn't always mean it's right or wrong, but, at least I'll be able to give him that, you know, opinion.
Mike DeBoer joining us on the program. Who met the media a week and a half or so ago, and I began by congratulating you because I've got to tell you, you won me over in that interview, in that press conference. Quite frankly, I was concerned about your time away and having not called plays in a while in college football, and my question for you is, as you adapt to the terminology of this offense and what's going to be going on, the practice will be a workout for the kids as well as yourself, coach, getting back in to leading up to the season opener. How much of what happens in the spring and then in the summer will be a workout for you in terms of getting back on the bicycle, as you put it?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that I've always cherished that time. Whenever I became a coordinator, I always looked at those scrimmages like they were games. I always, even in practice, I love practice because of the player, development, just preparing a team, getting them better. And then, but going back to what you said, you know, the scrimmages will be really good for me. And I said this in the press conference, but I mean, every year, like after I left Michigan, every year that I was in the pros for 5 years, I was with, in my opinion, two of the greatest play callers ever, in Mike Holmgren and Mike Martz. And so I would always talk to them about why. Why did you call that play? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why didn't you do this? And those two guys were great to me, and you know, we would talk about play calling. So even though that, you know, after I left Michigan and I was 5 years in the NFL, that I wasn't calling the game, I was in a lot of ways. Because you can always learn. I mean, let's look at the situation, and here it is in the Super Bowl. Two of the greatest teams, great coordinators, great head coaches, and there's debate whether Seattle maybe made the right call or not at the end of the game. And, so, you know, I guarantee you every coordinator in the country at any level learned from that scenario right there.
That is such a great point. And you know, one of the things that scares me about, and Butch Jones hates the term spread, and then you used it like 10 seconds later up there on the podium, which I love. and I love how you did that, because that's good stuff. So, with the spread offense or whatever Butch wants to term it, one of my concerns about that offense has always been that when you get on the goal line, you lose your effectiveness because you run out of room. It becomes a hat-on-hat game. And one of the things I'm counting on with you, Coach, so don't let me down on this answer, is that you're going to make us bigger on the goal line and give us a more traditional look around the goal line. Will we see that from Mike DeBoard's offense?
Well, to be honest with you, we're still out in the open field right now in our staff meeting, so we haven't even gotten to the goal line yet. So in our staff meetings, when we get down there, we'll start talking about that approach. But I do believe when you're down at the goal line, you've got to be able to really toughen up and get toe-to-toe, as they say, and knock people back. And so we will look at it from every standpoint, of the running game to play action to, and a lot of teams now are even spreading people out down there, and then possible throws we'll have, all that stuff. So, but I will tell you that we'll be physical and we'll be able to line up and knock you back.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's, we go back to Seattle again. I call that wasting food. When you send Marshawn Lynch in motion there, and you do what they did, it's like my Italian grandmother used to tell me, you know, you eat the last bite because somebody's starving somewhere. That just didn't make much sense to me. As a coordinator and a guy who's coached, I know you empathize with what went on in that game, and I know that's, in effect, you hated that because one of your guys was on that staff. Do you even find yourself doing that, or is it hard for you to be critical of somebody's calling as much as you've had that headset on before?
Well, that's a great question. I think that, I mean, I always am critical of criticizing coaches because I know how rough this business is, and even players. I mean, you know, people can point down and go, well, this guy should have done this or that or whatever it may be. And well, you know, that guy had to do it in only a few seconds, you know, and I always get a kick out of the fans that say after the play's over, I never would have called that. Well, yeah, you saw the play occur, and you could sit here for an extra 30 seconds and watch the play. You know, that play caller's making that play within, I mean, seconds. Like, especially when you're no huddle, it's within, like, maybe a second after the ball is spotted, or even right before it gets spotted. You're putting that call in. So I've always been, you know, very sensitive to criticizing anybody in an athletic world because of I know their world, and yet I also, just what we talked about, I've really always tried to learn. I mean, I've always tried to learn from a lot of coaches. Early in my career, I snuck into a Bobby Knight practice. I say snuck in, they knew we were there, but I told him I was a coach and not a football coach. But, you know, so I could go watch, you know, him coach and watch just the organization and the discipline and all those kind of things. So, you know, I study coaches all the time. And so if there's situations that have come up, then obviously I try to learn from that.
So who are your favorite coaches? Just any sport. Just let's take football out of it. Who are guys that you've learned from through the years?
Wow. Well, when I was obviously very young and starting coaching, I studied Bobby Knight a lot. I had all of his interviews. I thought he was tough, which he was. I thought he was a disciplinarian. But after I got to go in and watch one of his practices, I mean, I saw why they won. They had a system, and the system was basically practiced in practice. I mean, it was very interesting how he coached. He would go out, they would go through fundamentals. Then they would take off and go to the locker room, and he would, you know, draw up what he wanted to work on, like maybe a portion of the offense, whatever. Then they would go out and drill it. Then they go back to the locker room. They'd talk again. And so it was, I thought, excellent teaching. Now, you couldn't really probably do that in football, but I thought it was just a great way to teach. So I studied him a lot. I studied Bill Parcells a lot. I thought, you know, Bill Parcells was, number one, very smart, and obviously he had won at a lot of different places, and he'd won at a championship level. I studied Bill Walsh a lot because of the throw game and all the ways that he mastered the quarterback play and the well, you said not to go football, but I just did. I snuck back into it with both those guys. So, but I studied a lot of football guys that way. And but I'd say from other sports, it's basically I studied Bobby Knight a lot. And not that I would, do everything that he the way he coached, but I just thought his mentality was good.
You know, Ray Mears, who used to coach basketball here, who's a Midwestern guy, had a real impact on me as a kid. Just took an interest in me, and we spent a lot of time together when I was young in this business. And he told me one time about coaching. He said, I don't care what sport you're talking about. He said a great coach could mostly learn the nuances of just about any sport and be able to coach what they're doing. In other words, coaching, when you get right down to it, and he told me this, is more about people and getting them to buy in and execute than it is about what's actually going on. And that was, I thought that was a real interesting comment. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that, I believe a great coach is a great coach. And, but I also too know there's so many, in today's coaching, there's so many complex ways of competing and playing. And
yep.
What I mean by that, in football, it's the scheme. In basketball, you know, it's the same thing. There's so many different ways of, you know, playing different offenses and defenses and things like that. So I really believe it would take a lot of time of learning it. But I really, you know, and I just basically said this to our staff this morning, but, I mean, I got to, I think, study a great basketball coach in John Beilein. And to watch him be able to teach, coach, relationships with players, discipline, I mean, yeah, great. I think great coaches are great coaches.
Hey, Mike DeBoard, one final thing for you. Actually, I have a couple, but offensive line, you've had tremendous credentials in coaching offensive line. Left tackle here, a question mark. All eyes are on the big guy, Dontavius Blair, and his development. How much of a hand will you have in the offensive line as far as your coordinator duties go?
Well, I will answer it this way. It won't be like I'll just be watching that group. We've already started this in our meetings and stuff, and like every play that we talk about in our offense, and I'm talking every run, every pass, we are going through it in detail, the fundamentals. And it's, I mean, plays, in my opinion, are plays. But yet, when you can execute them, then you're executing them with technique. And there's, in my opinion, there's the right way and the wrong way of executing technique in all plays. So we're really breaking it down. And so when we come in from that first practice, we'll go through the tape and we'll be taking our time, and I'll be watching every player. I'll be watching every lineman, I'll be watching the quarterback, obviously, but tight ends, receivers, running back, and I'll be asking our coach, you know, what is wrong here? And I want the answer. I want the feedback. So in all of our areas, you know, I'll be definitely hands-on, and that's just the way I've coordinated in the past. I always, whenever the head coach would walk in and say, you know, in Tom Brady's drop here, what do you think? Then I would be able to coach him and tell him exactly. And it's going to be the same way. So when Butch walks in and says, you know, what about this receiver right here? Do you think that's a good slant? Then I'm going to be able to coach him exactly like Zach would coach him. And so, again, that's, I feel like, so important to a coordinator.
Nick Sheridan, how important will his role be in terms of coaching quarterbacks?
Well, just like what you said, the question you just asked, there might be a time where I go maybe in practice and I go down and I watch our offensive line in a particular drill or something. And so I have great confidence in Nick because Nick and I basically, I mean, I was a coach when he was a player at Michigan. And so we grew up together in a lot of ways. And he and his dad and I coached together. Or his dad and I coached together. And so I have ties to his family. I have ties to Nick. And Nick and I have gone through everything so far. And we continue to, you know, even stretch it more so. But we're on the same page as far as every little step, what we call it, every run, the actual footwork with the quarterback in some of these runs. And so he is very key to me, very important to me, because when you coordinate, you're looking at scheme, you're looking at the opponent, setting up a game plan, you're looking at all the positions and how they're playing, and there's a lot on your plate, and there's going to be, have to be times where I say to Nick, hey Nick, you gotta do this for me, and bang, 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 and which he's already doing now as we prepare for spring. So he's very important, to me in a lot of ways, not just, number one, coaching, yes, but then also too, just, you know, his knowledge that he has, and again, we've grown up in the same kind of system, teaching quarterbacks and all that, so that was, you know, very easy for both of us.
Hey, Mike, really appreciate you taking a few for us today. Wonderful talking with you, getting to know you better here, and on the way out, I'll give you a chance, final word here, anything else you want to add today to our conversation, but it was great talking with you today, Coach.
Well, thanks, Tony. I appreciate all you do for our athletic department, our university, our football program. I appreciate all that you do that way, and I look forward to, you know, our relationship and building that, and you know, anytime you have questions, whatever, I'd be glad to help in any way that I can, but I've only been down here, I think, a total of 3 weeks now, and I just am overwhelmed by the passion for Tennessee football. It is awesome. I love it, and I enjoy it. So it's been fun.
Thank you, man. Hey, stay off the roads when it snows, though. That's my only advice. Thank you, Coach.
Well, I'm not on the roads too much. It's either dark when I come in or dark when I go home, so it's hard to tell what they're like.
I hear you. Have a great day, Coach.
All right, Tony, thanks.
Mike DeBoard, one more time. Take a brief time out. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. On the Twittersphere, at Tony Basilio, you can find me as well. I will archive that, obviously, and we'll be able to hear that later on. A lot of interesting stuff from him. Seems that some people on Twitter are surprised by my level of questioning and his level of veracity to my level of questioning. I really appreciate him hanging in there with us for a good half hour. That was really, really interesting. Time well spent. And I must say, extremely impressive. I'll give you a few more thoughts as we continue live today at Stover's, 4505 Asheville Highway, where I remind you today that today we have over 1,600 choices in tile, just 88 cents a square foot, over 100 new vanities in stock. We've got going on Facebook our Kitchen Catastrophe Contest. Hundreds of new choices in flooring arriving daily. First quality flooring. Third quality in closeouts. Hundreds of Amazon loads arriving daily. You've got to see it to believe it. Glass tile from $199 a square foot. pet supplies galore. And my friends at Aledio's have provided some pizza for us today. Life doesn't get any finer. So we continue with more after this. We thank Mike Ford.
Spread the word and get the app at TonyBasilio.com for Android and iPhone.